Hello and welcome to the Lost Skills Podcast, where we believe if the women don't find you handsome, they should at least find you handy. Today's episode is episode number 35. Now, before we get started, I just want to start with a little bit of personal news. I was driving my truck last week and I couldn't figure out why the four-wheel drive wouldn't work, and then I heard a clunking noise in the front, thought I blew my axle out. So I pulled the truck in the garage Friday, because I was going to do a back brake job on it anyway. I pulled the front tire off where the noise was coming from, and when I replaced the front axle, I must have forgot to torque the bolts down. Boy, when I saw that, I felt dumb, but boy, I'll tell you what, I was happy that it was just that. A couple of dollars worth of bolts at the hardware store, and that problem was fixed. It was a lot better than having to change the whole front differential in my four-wheel drive truck. And since we're on the subject of working on vehicles, next time when I do a brake job on the back of my truck, which will be pretty soon, I'll take some pictures so that I can show everybody how you'd actually change the back brakes on a vehicle. It's kind of a tricky thing to do. They kind of suck because my truck has rear drums on it. It's a 92 S10 pickup. With the proper diagram and stuff out of like a Chilton or Haynes book and a nice exploded view of the parts, are actually not that hard to take apart, but I'll be taking a few photos and maybe I'll do a blog post or something when I get my new website up, and I'm going to actually take some pictures too of me replacing the axle seal so that you guys could kind of do that on your own. It's kind of a bit more involved job, but I have to take the brakes off anyway and the axle seal's leaking, so I might as well take care of it. Figured it out the other day, I probably got about $120 worth of parts in doing a complete rear brake job plus the axle seal, and that's a lot of money that I saved. If you would have took it somewhere to get a brake job done, it would have cost you quite a bit. But of course, my 92 S10 doesn't owe me nothing. It's got 174,000 miles on it now, I think, so I can afford to put a little bit of money into keeping it on the road. Every year you fix a vehicle like that, you save that money and put it in your pocket. That's money you're not paying the bank on a brand new vehicle. But enough about my pickup truck anyway. There's a website I found. It's a really neat website, and it's a person that's doing a blog and a podcast from right here in Wisconsin. And that's kind of nice because every podcast I found, it seems to be a lot of people in the South do podcasts, and a lot of the podcasts don't pertain to stuff that happens up here in the northern part of the U.S. Not saying there aren't any, but they're a lot fewer than the ones from down south. And I actually just found it yesterday. I was on the forum for the 5 Minutes with Jack podcast, and I think it's a really good podcast. She's just starting out and very excellent. Her audio quality is probably even better than mine. The person producing this podcast name is Mary Peterson. And she's doing a blog and podcast on all the things that happened in Wisconsin. And let me read from her page right here. It says, "I will do my best to report events from news from the entire state, from big cities to small towns, from our state parks to the county fairs and everything in between. I just started listening to her podcast, and she does cover a lot of things from all over the state, just not in her specific area. In fact, she was talking about a mushroom farm that's about 25 miles away from my house, and she lives all the way on the other side of the state. So go over and listen to her. Her website is www.thewisconsintimes.com. Go on over and visit her. Her podcasts are only going to get better, because trust me, your first couple are usually the hardest ones to do. They're the ones that you'll sit at the microphone and think, what do I got to say now? So Mary, keep up the good job, and I'll be looking forward to hearing some more about news from my home state. So now let's get on to today's topic, which is making extra money when times are tough, part 2. The reason I think that these podcasts are important is because, for one, I don't really like debt, even though everybody gets into debt for some reason or another. And it's just a horrible thing. You just end up being a slave to the banks. So I figured I'd do a couple of podcasts and tell people how they can make a little extra money, maybe help them get out of debt. Or you can go, you know, and save that money and buy your wife a little nicer Christmas present, or your kids something a little nicer for Christmas, or their birthday, because Christmas is over now. I don't know why I was saying Christmas. But it doesn't really matter what you're going to spend the money on. It's just making the extra money to help you out when you need it. The first thing I have here is yard sales. Well, you can have a yard sale and you can make a lot of money. And if you have extra stuff and they have a local flea market around you, like Krivitz has every Thursday, I do believe, you could go down to the flea market and you can sell stuff at the flea market. Now, mentioning flea markets, this is a double-edged sword, I guess, because you can also go to yard sales and go to flea markets, and you can buy stuff and then take it and sell it on eBay and make a little money, because a lot of times you can get some stuff really cheap, and maybe you can dicker with the guy and get it down a little bit, and then you can take it home and maybe make a little bit of money. So that's just something to think about, yard sales. And just remember, when you do have a yard sale, don't overprice everything. I mean, God, it's used stuff. I've gone to some yard sales where I could just have went to the hardware store and bought crap new. And it's just really disheartening. Like, when we have a yard sale and we sell old clothes, hell, a lot of times we just mark all the clothes a dollar. Or put a sign on a table that says everything a dollar unless otherwise specified. And one yard sale, we made $100 in like 4 hours. It was really kind of nice, but we sold a lot of clothes. People were just taking stacks of clothes because it cost them $10 for a huge stack of clothes. So I guess that's something just to keep in mind anyway. The next thing would be painting people's houses, or maybe their sheds, or exteriors of their pole buildings or anything like that. I mean, a paintbrush or a roller don't cost you a whole lot of money. And maybe you have a power painter from when you painted your house or something. Then you got it really made, because it's a whole lot easier to paint a majority of it with a power painter and then go back and use a paintbrush just to touch up the little spots. So if you already have those tools, painting is a good way to make a lot of money, because it's a lot of times tedious work and people don't want to mess with it. They'd rather just pay someone. One of the downsides, though, is that you may be on ladders and you may be up high, and if you're afraid of heights, this might not be the thing for you. But, you know, if someone wants an 8x12 storage shed painted in their backyard, you know, charge them $100 and paint it, and hell, you can make good money that way if you find enough of those. The next thing I'd like to talk about a little bit is getting a job at a farm. Every spring around here, all the farms around here are looking for people to help them pick rocks out of the fields in the springtime. And I know a lot of the farmers have gone to mechanization for doing that, you know, with bobcats and stuff like that. But a lot of times they still do have people follow the tractor and the trailer around and throw rocks in the trailer until they have to go dump it. And I mean, it's not a great job and it don't pay a lot of money, but usually maybe a couple of days on the weekend and then you're done with that. So it's a good little way to it's just something to make you a quick few extra bucks, and I did it a few times as a kid, and the best part is it doesn't cost you anything. All you gotta do is show up and be ready to put a little work in for the day. Now, when I was thinking about the picking rocks part, my dad's riverbank was washing out at his tavern, and he had a bunch of loads of rock dumped there quite a long time ago, probably when I was a little kid. But throughout the years, you know, the rocks kind of work their way down the riverbank, and they get in the river, and the ice pushes them up and downstream, and they just end up not being on the bank anymore. And my dad would actually pay people to go and throw the rocks up back on shore. Which sounds like something that's foolish, but when you think of how much riverbank that he probably saved over the people that lost theirs, it was probably a very good investment. And in the summertime, you get to stand in the water in shorts, and that's not really a horrible job. There are a lot worse jobs you could be doing out in the middle of summertime. It's just something else to think about. If you want to help someone save their riverbank or something like that, you can help them throw their rocks back up on shore. Another way to make money at a farm is when they're cutting the hay. Usually it's kind of just weekend work, or maybe during the week for a day or two, and you can help them load up the hay wagons and then help them load it up in the barn and make a little extra money that way. There are a lot of ways to make money at a farm. If you go to a dairy farm, you can get a job kind of helping them milk part-time, and maybe you only go in on the weekends twice a day and do it, but it's all extra little cash in your pocket and it doesn't cost you nothing. And a lot of times, if you ask them, they'll just pay you cash when you're helping them. Another way to make money in the summertime is if you live up in the northern part of the U.S. like I do, is shearing Christmas trees, which basically is you going out with a couple of really long knives that are about the length of machetes. Actually, they're kind of longer. And you go out and you cut all the new growth off of the trees and you make them that nice, pretty Christmas tree shape. And that's seasonable work. In the beginning of the year, if you work for a guy that has a couple of fields, you might only work a few months. Or if you work for a big outfit like the one that's in Wasaki, you could be gone all summer shearing trees in Minnesota and all over Wisconsin. And it's a good way to make some extra money. And if you're working there for a while, sometimes they have you help out in the spring planting trees and stuff like that before the main work gets going. So there's always opportunities to make money there. And if you work for a smaller outfit, a lot of times the guy will pay you cash. The one I worked for, he always paid us cash. He didn't have to worry about claiming nothing on our taxes or nothing like that. The next thing I was thinking about was buying and selling outdoor equipment. You can sometimes scour the newspaper and Craigslist and some other classified ads and stuff and find some really good deals on some power equipment or like boats and stuff like that, and you can take them home and maybe fix them up a little bit and then resell them and make a little money that way if you're kind of handy with stuff. A lot of times someone will have some old ice fishing stuff for sale that they don't use no more, or maybe some old fishing stuff, or you can find boats galore like on Craigslist and stuff, and a lot of times they're really cheap. And you can just kind of put a little work into them, sell them, make $100 or maybe $200 on it, and then be on your way. And you can reinvest the money into keep buying and selling stuff, and you can keep doing that until you make quite a bit of money. I know some people that actually did that for a long, long time, and I did it too for a little while. I always had something or other for sale, and making the little bit of extra money on it was pretty nice. The next one is fixing small engines. A lot of times when you're driving down the road, sometimes you'll see a push mower sitting on the side of the road by someone's garbage. And a lot of times, the only thing that's wrong with them is maybe they need to have the carburetor cleaned. Or heck, I even got one from my father-in-law one time he found for me. And I said, "You think it's out of gas?" And he says, "I don't know, there's no gas in it." So we poured some gas in it, primed it a few times and pulled it, and it fired right up. So I got a brand new, pretty much brand new lawnmower for free, and all I had to do was put gas in it. Apparently the person never checked the gas, or maybe he just told his wife he was going to go buy a new one because that one was a piece of junk. I don't know what the story is, but you can do that a lot of times. And a lot of times you can go to like dumps and stuff, and they'll drop off riding lawnmowers and regular push mowers and stuff at the dumps. And you can bring them home and tinker with the motors and get them running. And especially if you get four or five of them with the same engine, you know, sometimes you can combine them and you can make one lawnmower out of a couple. And usually the best part about this is it usually doesn't cost you a dime but going somewhere to look to see what they got. I used to work with a guy that would get lawnmowers and stuff all the time, like off a swap shop and out of the newspaper. And he would just put a new spark plug in them and clean the carburetors out and put some gas in them. And he sold them, and he made quite a bit of money doing that. He told me at one time he had like 50 lawnmowers lined up in his yard that he had fixed up and sold. And he had a picture of it. It was pretty neat. So it's just kind of something to think about if you're handy with small engines. There's quite a bit of money to be made there if you can find some stuff for free. Usually for a good used lawnmower, you can get about $35. So if you get it for free and you put a couple dollar spark plug in it, the rest is all just profit. The next thing I have down is babysitting. It might not be something you want to do all the time, but maybe every once in a while on a Friday night or something, you could watch someone's kid or maybe a couple of kids and make a couple of bucks. And sometimes it's not even about the money. Sometimes it's just about watching someone's kids. Then maybe they'll return the favor for you sometime so that you and your wife can go out. It's just something to think about. I know it's probably not the most manly thing out there, and I'm pretty sure probably most of the people that listen to this are men, but it's just a thought. Now the next thing is making arts and crafts and stuff. When I was younger, I had actually bought a scroll saw. And you know them little like wooden ducks and apples and stuff that sit on people's shelves that they make and paint crafts out of and all that crap? I used to cut them and we'd sell them at my mom's store because she was actually paying somebody to buy them in the raw form. And I usually would get like $1 a piece for them from her, and then she would sell them for $1.75. So it was kind of a nice little side profit, and you can go around to some of the traveling craft shows and stuff and sell them. I know like the mall in Marinette, they have a craft show a few times a year and people sell all their wooden stuff in there. And it doesn't have to be little craft stuff either. I mean, you can sit there and make little wooden benches for in people's yards and maybe picnic tables or the wishing wells and other stuff like that. Usually when you build those types of things, it doesn't really cost you a whole lot of money and you can make a whole lot of profit, because usually what people are paying for is your time to build something like that, because they either don't want to, or they don't have the ability, or like I said, they just don't plain want to. But you can make a whole lot of things out of wood. I mean, the sky's the limit. Actually, this weekend, me and my father-in-law were working on building a rocking horse for my daughter that was patterned after one that my wife's uncle made, like, when they were really little kids. That way my daughter could have one that is at her grandparents' house and then one that's at our house, so she can ride her rocking horse whenever she wants. But like I said, the sky's the limit. I'm just putting it out there. It's kind of up to you guys to take the ideas and run with them. Now, another thought is cutting trees down for people. A lot of times people either just don't have a chainsaw, or they don't know how to drop a tree in their yard or something. And if you're someone that cuts wood all the time and has a lot of experience, you can do this for people and make some extra money. This is kind of an ideal job, especially if you work for like a trim-a-tree company or something like that. Because I know someone that works for a trim-a-tree place, and they used to do side jobs on the weekend, and they would get a couple $100 for going and dropping a tree, and they would take their tree spikes and climb up the tree and just go and cut it up and stuff, and then they'd make a little money. So if you have the equipment to do it for someone, why not do it? I mean, if you have the knowledge and everything, that's something that you can draw on when you're not at work. Another skill that you can use when you're away from work to make a little extra money is if you're a welder and you have a welder at home, why not put a sign out that says welding work done, and you can make a little extra money welding up some stuff for some people around your neighborhood. You can always run ads in the newspaper and stuff, and you know, just someone comes over, you charge them $5-$10 to weld something up, or maybe someone will come with a big project that they want you to build from the ground up. Anytime you're probably going to do something like this, you're going to want them to get the material anyway and bring it to your house, and they can buy all your consumables like your welding rod and your gas and stuff, and then anything on top of that is just your profit. But I do suggest if you're going to do welding jobs for people, you have to kind of sit down and figure out what it's really going to take, because you don't want to think that it's only going to take some gas and maybe like 20 welding rods, and come to find out you went through 50 welding rods, 16 grinder wheels, or something like that. It's all something you got to think of when you're quoting the person the price of whatever you're going to build for them. But if someone brings over a couple of pieces of pipe they want welded together or something, hey, $5, or you know, that's a pretty good price for a rod. A lot of times people bring something over and it's only one welding's rod worth of welding anyway. Another way you can make some extra money is selling things on eBay for other people. You wouldn't believe how many people are out there that use computers that actually don't know how to use eBay. You can just sell things for them and maybe just take a little percentage of what they make. You know, if it's, say, I don't know, like 5% for your time or whatever and dealing with it, and then you can just have them pack it up and then ship it, and you take the money from your account and you pay them and you keep your fee out of it. The same can be said for buying things off of eBay for people. There are a lot of people that just don't want to go through the hassle of buying things, or maybe they don't know, understand how eBay works or whatever. But if you're on the computer anyway and you're willing to put in a little time, maybe you can find them what they need a little cheaper and then work it out where they'll just pay you a little on the top to go and get it for you and have it shipped to your place. A lot of times people don't trust the internet and stuff, and they don't want to put their credit card numbers out there, but if you already have a PayPal account, what's it matter to you if you're buying something for $30 or for $50 for someone else? As long as they pay you the money up front, then you don't have to worry about it. The one thing I would suggest, though, is when you do buy it and have it shipped directly to your house. Don't be having it shipped to their house, because you never know, you might not get the money. But if you got the goods and they want them, they'll end up paying you the money for them. It's just something to think about. Maybe it's not the best plan, but like I said, it's something that you could do to make a little extra money. The next thing I want to talk about a little bit is like working on cars for people. I used to work on cars for people out of my garage on and off, and I usually used to charge like $20 an hour to do so, and I always had my own tools and everything. And I never really picked like the stupidly hard jobs like changing an engine or something, but a lot of times, you know, change an alternator or maybe change the shocks on someone's car, you know, the easy gravy work. A lot of times they charge you quite a bit for that yet, and I usually charge quite a bit cheaper. Or if it was an easy job and I knew roughly how long it would take, I would just charge them a flat rate and have them bring the parts with them and everything. That way I didn't even have to go out and pay the money for the parts. And that helped them too, because they saved money on the parts versus going to a dealer or a regular shop. A lot of times they charge you like a 20% markup on parts when you're buying car parts. So that's just another way that I thought that you can make a little money from the side on your garage. If you're mechanically inclined and work on your own cars, why not work on someone else's, as long as it's something that's not going to get you into trouble in the end and you don't tackle a job that you don't know if you can do or not, you should be just fine. But I think with that, I'm going to wrap up today's show right about here. I just wanted to get this show out about making extra money, because, like I said in the last show, I do listen to Dave Ramsey a lot, and right now in my life, I'm trying to live like no one else so that later on in my life, I can absolutely live like no one else, if you know what I mean. It sure would be nice to go to the Polaris dealer someday and write yourself a check for a brand new four-wheeler or something, and not have to worry about having to pay off the loan payments and stuff like that. And that's kind of one of my goals in life, is that I'm going to go and buy something like that, and I'm going to go write a check for it. Not saying that if you do any of these things, it'll make you rich, but I'm guaranteeing you, if you take the time to do a few of these things, it ain't going to hurt you any either. So with that, until next time, this is Jeff Radke, signing off, and until next time, keep your stick on the ice.